morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing. We'd like for you to wake up and stay tuned. We got a good program today, as usual. Fontella Bass to start the program today. I'm not familiar with Fontella's work, but I do know that song. You Get the Blessing exists because we like to play squirrely music at the start to get you all awake and tuned in. Mostly we exist, though, to bless your lives by introducing you to special guests that we think are impacting the world for Christ. And today our special guest is Brad Miley. Brad is the president, CEO, big hog at the trough of the Denver Rescue Mission. See how that ties into the song there, Brad?
It does. It was perfect. It was perfect. I'm just glad you didn't ask me to come and sing.
Hey, I'm the only one that gets to sing on my own show.
Oh, okay then.
So, Brad Miley, welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
I know we've had you as our guest before because the Denver Rescue Mission is always doing something great. But before we get into your personal life, since we just heard Fontella sing about rescuing me, and since the name of your organization is Denver Rescue Mission, what all do you think you're rescuing people from?
Yeah, you know, one of the things is that we really try to do working with homeless is to get people off the street and help them become productive, self-sufficient citizens. You know, and this is one of our goals. It starts with offering a person a meal and a place to stay. And no one in this city wants anyone to freeze to death or to go hungry. And then we try to get them in and then figure out how can we help you. And for a lot of them, it's drugs and alcohol rehab. And so I have about 250 people right now in a drug and alcohol rehab program. And but again, our goal is through the power of Jesus Christ, really, to change lives. We try to help them become productive, self-sufficient citizens once again and be in our community.
So all kinds of rescuing and like we said a moment ago, an appropriate song you picked today, Mark Libby, Rescue Me, because to think about what you're doing down there in the Denver Rescue Mission all the time just makes me feel good that you're attacking some of the brokenness and the incredible need that we have here in the city of Denver. So let's go back. Before we talk more about the mission, let's talk about you.
Okay.
Tell me where you were born and
sure.
Where you were raised and what it was like around your place growing up.
Yeah, well, I'm a Kansas boy at heart. So I was born in Waukene, Kansas, and then moved to Kansas City, where my dad was a banker, actually, and so we lived there. I went through grade school, and then moved to Colorado Springs. And
what year did you move?
1970.
How old were you?
I was in the eighth grade.
That's interesting. I was in Oklahoma City and moved in the ninth grade, and thought, hey, this was a good idea.
Yeah,
Kansas. Well, Oklahoma weather versus Colorado.
Our
folks made good choices for us.
Oh, my gosh. It was probably the best move that I ever made. But what I couldn't believe, Bo, is that I was moving somewhere where my family had gone on vacation, to move to Colorado Springs. So I went to junior high and high school in Colorado Springs, and I loved being in the Springs and I became familiar with Young Life there and actually came to know the Lord through Young Life. Went to Malibu, and so there was an opportunity there to say, hey, here's who this guy Jesus is, and is this someone that you'd like to follow and believe in? And
let's spend a little time on that, because
sure.
I had been to the May Avenue Methodist Church for all those years in Oklahoma City. Pastor Herman Ging, I'm sure, was presenting the gospel. I never heard it until Young Life came along, same as you. Don Reverts, perfect style, perfect pace for me. But when it was time to close the deal with me, when I said, how do you get in on this? He also knew how to say, this is what you do. You pray this prayer. You accept Christ as your Savior. And so let's discuss a couple of things about Young Life, which is a Christian organization reaching out to, I guess, junior high and high school kids now. But what's the appeal there? Why did we both finally understand the simplicity of the gospel when it was presented through the platform of Young Life?
Yeah, I think the thing for me, Bo, I don't know about for you, but same thing. I'd gone to church and but didn't really understand who Jesus was, you know. And I realized, okay, it could be fun to be a Christian, and Jesus really loves you. You know, it isn't a God that sits up in heaven that's going to clobber you over the head or something every time you do something wrong. And I go, wow, you can have fun being a Christian? That was awesome when that the realization kind of hit me. And again, I had my young life leader was Jimmy Rayburn Jr.
What?
You know?
Jim Rayburn Sr., the founder of Young Life.
Yeah.
And his kid followed in his footsteps and was your leader.
Was that incredible or what?
That's amazing.
And so, but I think it is really just developing relationships with kids and, you know, and saying, hey, you know, here's something you should think about.
That is one of their guidelines, is to earn the right to be heard.
Yeah.
And they do that through just hanging around with kids, going to sporting events. I remember asking Don, what do you do anyway besides watch us practice? And that's what he started telling me about what he did, and just took his time. But they earn the right to be heard by loving the kids right where they are.
Oh, yeah. And so I think that was a message of a Jesus that really loves you and cares about you. And I really gravitated toward that. It was awesome.
And some of the common ground they use to reach kids, if you parents are wondering, should you nudge your kid towards a Young Life club? Yes, because music is one of the common languages. Yeah. Laughter, I can remember.
Skits?
Yeah. Some of those skits. Rick Corbin taking a cream pie. It's supposed to softly smash it into Debbie Sanders' face. That might have been the very night I received Christ, thinking, like you just said, these people have a lot of fun. Sorry you got the pie tonight, Debbie. Maybe we'll get it next time. But
well, I can remember biting into a caramel-covered onion as well. So there you go.
I never heard of this one. Clip, make a note of that. We need to try that at our next adult Young Life.
Maybe with the Rockies. They would like it.
Yeah. But you just feel accepted and a part of it. There's no complexity to it, actually. And Revert's messages at our clubs were really always leading back to, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And are you at least making an effort to grow in that relationship?
Exactly.
Kept it simple.
Yeah, and then they have great camping experiences. And like I said, I was able to go to Malibu, which is 90 miles north of Vancouver, and spend a week up there. And
tough duty.
It was incredible. So later on, I got to go back as a leader, as a Young Life leader. And it's so much different to go as a leader, you know, but it was still just a terrific experience.
I think I went to Trail West and Frontier, which aren't quite as glamorous as Malibu.
Well, those are great camps too.
Yeah, they are. Both here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff. So after meeting Christ, what happened next?
I guess what did happen? I ended up going to Northern Arizona University to school. I went there to play football, and I tell people that I found out I was small but slow. And so, but I
what position?
I played running back and defensive back, and so and always very active in high school and athletics. And so,
you went to NAU,
Northern Arizona. I was a lumberjack. So
that's ooh. That's tough.
Well, you're laughing about that.
That's the best they could come up with? Northern Arizona
University.
Demons.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know.
Lumberjacks.
I don't know. The Lumberjacks.
All right.
And so
how long did you play ball?
Well, you know, I just played for a year, and then but I loved the school, and so I stayed in Flagstaff, and I'd met my wife. We weren't married then, in high school, And then I like to tell people she chased me down to Northern Arizona University and went to school. She doesn't like for me to say it, so maybe I shouldn't be saying this on the radio. And
your wife's name is?
And so Carrie.
Carrie.
And so Carrie and I got married our last year in college, and then I took a road a little less traveled by. I was in a Marine Corps officer program, and so I spent 3 years in the Marine Corps, a year on the West Coast, or I'm sorry, a year on the East Coast, 2 years on the West Coast.
What kind of training was that?
It was hard.
I bet.
It was hard, you know, and so, but I spent 3 years on active duty, and then we moved back to Colorado. We just loved Colorado and wanted to come back here, and then I looked all over to try to find a job, and I ended up in banking. So I spent 17 years in banking before getting connected with the Denver Rescue Mission. And eventually really started as a volunteer at the mission, and eventually had the wonderful opportunity to come on board and became president and CEO. Oh gosh, I guess I've been at the mission about 17 years, and so about 15 and a half years ago, I became president and CEO. And I love what we get to do at the mission, because we're reaching folks that that need to be reached, and people that desperately need help. And it's wonderful to get to do that.
So let's jump for a second into the concept for our listeners that God's the God of the miraculous. He's also the God of logic and order. So here you are challenged each year with $20 to $30 million worth of pressure that you have to put together for
fundraising,
budget needs of Denver Rescue Mission. Training for that is banking. Watching every penny, making sure all the paperwork's done right. And I like the fact that there's a business side to every ministry that requires a business mind, not the mind of a pure minister. I celebrate that there are businessmen who think, I'm going to use my talents to do something exactly like what you're doing with your life. So it really was interesting preparation, 17 years in the incubator of banking to get you ready for a higher calling.
Well, and the time I spent in the Marine Corps working with young Marines was as well. I mean, it was an eye-opening experience to have that.
Because you met the nuts that, no, I won't go there. Complicated lives.
Complicated lives, and, you know, young guys on drugs and, you know, just all kinds of different things, you know, just challenges of life, and you're thrust pretty early in your Marine Corps career into situations where you have a lot of responsibility. And then later on, one of the wonderful things for me is I was able to, while I was working at the Denver Rescue Mission, to graduate from Denver Seminary. And so I'm actually a pastor through the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. So now I have kind of this combination of, it's kind of a crazy combination, I know, of Marine, of banker, of pastor, of homeless service provider. I mean, it's kind of a crazy thing.
Range, man. You got good range. I did the same thing, though, in my 30s. I went back and got a degree from Denver Seminary in Christian leadership, just because I was doing a lot of volunteer stuff in starting Cherry Hills Community Church with Dixon and Belts and a few others. But I just felt like I needed to go back and kind of, actually Belts told me, you met Christ through Young Life, you grew up a little bit through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you need to go to seminary and learn a little more about what it is you believe. So that training is very helpful, isn't it?
It's very helpful. And kind of discovering what you don't know, you know, and so, and realizing there's a lot I don't know. And but I think Denver Seminary has been a great experience for me, and I continue to be involved with them on their board of directors. And
you do?
Yeah.
I forgot that. Yeah. I was, if you don't know, the worst student in the history of the school.
But
in fact,
but you passed.
9 years I smoked through a 2-year program.
Well, it took me 7 to get through a 2-year. So you and I are not that much different.
Yeah, I'm 2 years worse. I would like you all to consider as trustees a plaque or something commemorating this on the wall of the seminary with maybe a picture of me in my cap and gown, because when I graduated, the faculty was like, hallelujah.
He did it.
He is, no, they weren't celebrating that. Gone. They were celebrating the fact I was gone.
But I'll mention that to the president, Mark Young. I'll mention that.
Please do. I'm sure that's what he wants to spend his time on. So the image that pops into people's minds when they think of the Denver rescue mission is probably, I would say, at least 50, if not 75 years old in terms of what it is y'all really look like and do. I mean, it's not the old line up, serve you a bowl of soup, cram the gospel of Jesus Christ down your throat, and then send you back out in the streets. Would you say that? Have we gotten past that, or is that still kind of around?
No, you know what is? It may be around for some folks, but we're so far past that, you know. And so, for one thing, we don't believe in beating anybody over the head with a big black Bible. You know, I mean, you're going to get fed if you come to the Denver Rescue Mission. You're going to have people there trying to visit with you, encourage you. You know, see if we can get you into, well, you know, one of our programs, or where else can we get you? Maybe you need some mental health things. And so we need you to get over to Stout Street Clinic, or maybe there's an opportunity to work with the Colorado Coalition for Homeless to try to get you into one of their programs. I mean, what does that look like? And that's really kind of really what we're trying to do. But I think one of the things we do really well, yes, we feed some, 650,000 meals last year. You know, I mean, an incredible number, and provided 311,000 nights of shelter. But one of the things I think...
Say that number again.
Yeah, 311,000 nights of shelter at all of our facilities. But I think the thing that we do really well is we try to help people become productive, self-sufficient citizens, you know, and try through our New Life Rehabilitation Program, or maybe through our Star Family Program. You know, we want people to be able to get back into society, be able to have a job, be free from drugs and alcohol, and overcome the issues of poverty and that are holding them back.
23 years ago, we've shared this on the program before. By the way, this is Bo Mitchell, your host today. My guest is Brad Miley, President and CEO of the Denver Rescue Mission, if you just joined the program. But 23 years ago, I went through an awful time in my life, and I was caught up in the real estate drama of the 80s and made some poor decisions. Ended up going to federal prison for 137 days and then a halfway house for another 4.5 months because I was a threat to society. But joking. Anyway.
You were no threat.
I didn't think so. But the brokenness I felt... was a first for me. I mean, I'd had defeats as an athlete. I'd had setbacks as a real estate broker and owner principal, but I also had never felt anything like this. I felt most days for all of 92 and all of 93 and 8 months of 94 like crying. I wasn't mad at anybody. I wasn't mad at God. I didn't blame anybody, including the judge or some of the guys that I thought had told the story in an improper way, but I just felt broken. And I can name a list of people to help me get back on my feet, but I had a good team of people around me, especially my wife. And I'm not sure without Christ, first of all, and those people, I would have ever stopped crying or gotten up off the bench. And that's really when you meet these people face to face, is at the
when they're
bottom
broken.
Of the brokenness.
Yeah, they're at the very bottom, and they're like, look, I'll even try Jesus, you know. I mean, that really, they're just like, this is it for me. A lot of the guys that we work with have been through programs, they've, you know, spent their money, and they've burned bridges with, at least, I mean, you had family that was around you, you know, and your wife loved you, and But some of these guys, they've burned these bridges really badly, you know. And so, and they finally come to us, it's like, just, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Help me. Just help me.
And I remember my family would even look at me and say, why are you crying? And I would say, nothing specific, everything in general. It just didn't feel like I was myself There was an underlying sadness about me. One woman described it that had never been there, and she wanted it to go away. And I said, you know, it'll go away when it's supposed to go away. August 1st of 94, it finally went away. But what starts? Is it the hope you give these people? Or as the scripture says, you know, I was hungry, you gave me food. Yeah. I was thirsty, yeah, you gave me drink. Is it a mixture of all that?
Yeah. Well, we do all this in the name of Jesus. And my prayer is that we're providing hope at the Denver Rescue Mission. You know, really the hope that Jesus can bring, you know, and he's working through the volunteers, through our staff, you know, but it's hope. It's hope. People see hope that their lives don't have to be that way anymore, Bo, that things can change. And for a lot of them, they haven't seen any hope in quite a while, you know, and they're not even sure what it looks like, but they might see it in the eyes of the people that are serving them, and you know, or they see it in the building they're staying in, or maybe if it's the food that they get, you know, but just start to identify a little bit of hope.
Amen. Well, let's jump to what the listeners can do to get involved, because like I said earlier, the business side of ministry needs to be strong if the ministry side is going to be strong, effective, and long-lasting. So the businessman and woman or woman that might be listening to the program today wondering how they can fit in, I hope you hear that what drives Brad and his great staff is the dream of what they're trying to do. Find these people, give them hope.
Yeah.
But behind the dream or alongside of the dream, there's a deal. What does it cost to do this? Now, sometimes we say, you know, it'd be nice if a bake sale could raise enough money to support this program. And in some cases, if it's a kid's retreat for the weekend or something, a bake sale can do it. But when you're talking 20 plus million dollars year budget,
yeah,
to run what you're running, we need some people that are listening to this program to think, what could I do financially to help the Denver Rescue Mission? So does that burden make you crazy, or do you just press on and think this money's going to come from somewhere if people will help?
Yeah, I think it'll come from somewhere if people will help. You know, it's really a giving community that we live in. We trust God to touch people's hearts, but you can go to denverrescuemission.org and help us. You know, right now, Bo, we're trying to get in 15,000 turkeys to be able to distribute to families and to do our big Thanksgiving banquet. And we work with about 90 different agencies that'll be getting turkeys in. And so
15,000 turkeys.
15,000. Right now, we're at about 8,000. And so, and Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And so, I mean, this is a need. If people want to just come and drop off a turkey at 23rd and Lawrence Street at our shelter, they could sure do that.
Is that where Jesus Save sign is?
Big Jesus Save sign right there.
Okay. Yeah. So we need turkeys. Last time I saw 15,000 turkeys in the same place was when I played for the University of Colorado and we were playing a basketball game in Lincoln, Nebraska. I think that's about what their arena held. Those fans seemed like turkeys to me. Tough place to play.
Well, you know what they look like then.
Yeah, exactly. So people can go pick up a half a dozen turkeys, take their children, experience carrying them in, dropping them off.
Dropping them off with us. We'd so appreciate that.
And then what happens when you serve them? What's that look like?
Oh, my gosh. It's just, that's where you see hope. You see hope in folks' eyes, you know, and we're giving away food boxes, about 2,500 food boxes with everything you need for a Thanksgiving Day feast. We're going to be doing that as well. And so, I mean, it's a great thing. It's exciting. We say it all begins with a meal.
So you talk about you get the blessing being the name of this program. You want to be blessed. Add this to your Thanksgiving week so they can bring this anytime this week.
Anytime this week. Yeah, we'd appreciate it.
Staff will be there to receive you, and the turkeys will be stored. Thank you in advance, and thank you when they get there.
Exactly.
And 2,500 served. That'll be spectacular. Beyond that, I would say somebody might be listening that thinks, well, I got an extra $5,000 bucks or $50,000 at the end of this year, and I'm looking for a safe place to put this that I know will be responsibly used, and call Brad Miley, President and CEO. He'd love to take your call. He'll talk with you about where the needs are financially beyond this Thanksgiving Day outreach, because they're just endless. The more you give, the more ministry they can do. And if all you have is $5, if that's all you can give, you know, praise God, you got something to give, and you guys would receive it with open arms.
And very thankfully, we'd appreciate it. We can't do this work without this generous community that we live in. And it really is so generous, and we appreciate it.
And we can't exist as a community serving like we need to without you and your leadership skills and your staff, Griff, Paul, others, doing the great job they do. So all I can say is thank you, and share the website once more.
DenverRescueMission.org.
That's the easiest way to find, and they have a go-to click button that you can donate.
For a donation, if you want to volunteer, there's a volunteer button. We'd love to have you come volunteer with us as well year-round. You know, we're serving meals 365 days a year.
Nothing but money and turkeys do we need, and your friendship and prayer. So thanks for listening today. Brad, you've been a great guest.
And thank you.
See you next week on You Get the Blessing, folks.